Our help was in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Amen. The congregation may be seated this morning. Hear these words from Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Grace be to you, and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. We gather here this morning in God's presence to remember and give thanks the life of Paul DeBoer. We come together in grief. We acknowledge that we have a great loss before us. We also want to affirm God's love for us, to gather to hear God's words of hope in Scripture, and to support one another in a time of need. May God grant us that grace, that in our pain we may find comfort. In sorrow there is hope, and in death there is already one resurrection. Dying, Christ destroyed our death. And rising, Christ will one day restore all of those who call upon the name of the Lord. Let us pray this morning. God, our comforter, you are our refuge and strength. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to fill this place this morning. May you draw close to those whose hearts are grieving and heavy today. Lord, I especially lift up to you today, Karen. Lord, in the loss of a partner and fiance, Lord, may you sustain her through the days to come. In the moments when she'll be stricken with grief and, Lord, sorrow will run deep, Lord, we ask for your mercies just to flow over her. Lord, we also want to pray today for Tammy and Matt, for Tara and Scott, for Evan and Melissa. Lord, in the loss of a father. Lord, we pray for Karen's family in the loss as well of a stepfather. Lord, we pray for his brother, for his sisters. Lord, his cousins and maybe aunts and uncles that have joined here today. Lord, his nieces and nephews, and other extended family. Lord, we lift them up to you today in a time of loss, in a time that, Lord, is painful. Lord, we pray for Paul's friends, for co-workers that have gathered here today, for neighbors and church family that knew him. Lord, may we just experience you in a great way through this service this morning. In Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. I want to share with you a couple of verses from the book of Matthew this morning. And these verses come to us, I believe it was Tara that shared these. The first time that I met Tara at the Finner home that morning. And they were the Beatitudes of Jesus speaking to his people. And they brought her great comfort. And so I would like to read those to you this morning. And I invite you just to listen to these words as Jesus was speaking to a crowd of people that gathered around him. And he could see that they were burdened. Their hearts were heavy. And they needed to know how to live this Christian life. And who was God going to be to them? And this is what Jesus spoke. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and he sat down. And his disciples came to him. And they began to teach them. And he said to them, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. That is you this morning. And this is what he says, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that those verses, they just jump out to me today. And I just wanted to share those with you. Especially when it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Those are the exact words Jesus spoke to his people, and he speaks them to you today. And so I would like to invite Scott Van Kickricks to come forward this morning, and he would like to share a little bit about Paul's life and a eulogy to you this morning.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you for this opportunity. Paul was special to our family. I knew him years ago working at the elevator. He could fix anything. Him and my dad had a lot of arguments, a lot of goofing off time. He'd come fix anything. But in the last 3 years, we got to know him better. He would come to Graham for coffee after church on Sunday, and he treated her like a mother. Karen shared with me a few things, how it was in their first couple times they seen each other. He didn't want her to get too close to him because he didn't want to hurt her again. Is that not Paul? Not worried about himself. Worried about somebody else. From the kids' standpoint, the door was always open for them. He'd grill for them. They could come for supper, Sunday dinner, anytime they wanted to. Once again, Paul's example. Paul had a couple different sides. As you all know, he could joke when it was time to joke. And that was good for my father. If you know my father, he's sitting here today. He's got Parkinson's. And he can't communicate very well. But Paul would always throw a joke. So here about 3 weeks ago, I'm taking Dad out. And by the way, when we come, when we leave, he's the first one jumping out of his chair, helping Dad. Helping him get out of the wheelchair, sit down, whatever it is. This time, though, we were leaving, and of course he helps. It's either me, Barry, or Bruce helping Dad get out to the pickup at Grandma's after we're done with coffee. And he opens the door, and I get Dad out of the wheelchair, and Dad gets one hand on the door like he always does, and then he's got to get that other hand up to grab the handle and step up on the running board to get in the pickup. Well, things weren't working, and that tends to happen when you have what Dad has. You can't move. He'll freeze once in a while. Well, lo and behold, Paul comes through and he says to Dad, or he says to me, "What do you think, Scott? Should I grab a hot shot?" My dad looked at him and says, "You don't dare." And Dad can't talk very well, but when he has to, he could to Paul. So, once again, Paul could lighten up any moment. But Paul also knew how to be serious. And this is what I want to leave you with, especially your grandkids. Why and what do you remember Paul for? Rob talked about hope downstairs. We as Christians believe in hope. For him, it's now reality. But what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience. And there's more, but I'm going to stop. I want you to go look yourself in Galatians 5. And let's compare your life and my life personally to Paul's. All in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott, for sharing those words this morning. I'd like to read the obituary with you this morning. So if you have your flyer with you, your folder, please grab that and follow along this morning as we just read just a snapshot of his life. And there are so many things that you could add into this and maybe memories you have of Paul as we read through this morning of his life. But let's read here together. Paul was born on April 24, 1959, to Theron and Wilma Skideman DeBoer of Sioux Center, Iowa. Paul's accompanied by his friend and fiance Karen Van Ginkel during his last few years of his life. Paul passed away in a tragic accident on his acreage near Inwood, Iowa, on Friday, October 12, 2018, at the age of 59. And if Karen could add one thing, Paul died doing what he loved the most, feeding his horses. Paul is survived by 3 children and 8 grandchildren. His children, Tammy and Matt Baker, Tara and Scott Boer, Evan and Melissa DeBoer. His grandchildren, Drake and Sage Baker, Tenley, Kaysen, and Taylor Boer, Isaac, Wyatt, and Gage DeBoer. Paul also enjoyed his time with Karen's children and grandchildren. Paul brought a smile and a story wherever he went. He took pride in his work, his family, and his friends. Paul enjoyed farming, camping, and working with his hands. He had a deep love for horses and found joy in sharing that with his grandchildren. Paul is survived by his siblings, Alan and Vi DeBoer, Carla and Dan Rosing, Beth and Joel Fleer, and AB and Dave Verberg. Paul has many nieces and nephews. He's preceded in death by Wilma and Theron DeBoer, his parents, Lillian DeBoer, a stepmother, Leon DeBoer, a brother, and Arloa DeBoer, a sister. Paul will be deeply missed by all. Blessed be the memory of Paul. And I also want to share with you, on a lighter note, I was given this list of 10 things you did or didn't know about Paul. And I'd like to share those with you this morning. And if they cause you to laugh, feel free to laugh about that this morning as you remember Paul's life. And so here's the 10 things that you need to know about him. He was doing his part by saving the world's oceans by not throwing away any plastic water jugs. Maybe you know Paul well enough that you'd understand that. He was known to bring a welder along on camping trips for that just-in-case-something-breaks moment. He had an ambulance as a tool vehicle. It was not uncommon for him to announce over the intercom system of the ambulance or use the sirens to announce his arrival to his grandchildren. His mailbox was once mounted to a piece of rebar for the post. The mailman didn't look forward to it on windy days. Not everyone could ask their grandkids to go and find his leg because he had lost it. Diet Coke, Paul and Diet Coke were never far apart. Paul never had to say, "I wish I'd kept that vehicle," because that vehicle was never sold. Paul's accident with his arm in the grinder happened the same time baby Jessica was pulled out of the well, and while Evan was born in another hospital. That had to be quite the day. Did you know that he could stand on his head? For a while, he would do it quite frequently, just to prove to the company around him that he actually could do it. And last but not least, anytime you're in a conversation with Paul, it usually ended with, "Let's go camping," or "We should go for a horse ride sometime." That was Paul. Thank you for sharing that this morning about his life. Another thing they wanted me to share with you, knowing that Paul was truly a cowboy at heart, and he loved horses. And they wanted me to share with you a cowboy's prayer. And so I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm going to read this prayer this morning, and I want you to think about the goodness of God and Paul's life in this prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we pause at this time. Mindful of the many blessings you have bestowed upon us, we ask, Lord, that you be with us in the arena of life. We as cowboys do not ask for special favors. We don't ask to draw around the chute, a fighting horse, the steer that won't lay, or to never break the barrier. We don't even ask for all daylight runs. We do ask, Lord, that you will help us live our lives here on earth as cowboys in such a manner that when we make that last inevitable ride to the country up there where the grass grows lush, green, and stirrup high, and the water runs cool, clear, and deep, that you'll take us by the hand and say, Welcome to heaven, cowboy. Your entry fees are paid. Amen. I'm going to invite you to turn your hymnal this morning to number 600. And we're going to sing, I Need Thee Every Hour, verses 1, 3, and 4. Number 600 this morning. I'd like to share a couple of scriptures with you this morning of those that Karen and the family chose for Paul's funeral. The first one comes from Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. As you know, Ecclesiastes is written by King Solomon, a man with great wisdom that knew a lot about life and was inspired greatly by God, wrote this book. And the title that we're reading in this set of messages, a set of verses, it's entitled The Time for Everything. And so listen to the Word of God. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And then also from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. And this little snippet of verses here is entitled, The God of All Comfort. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather here to hear your word today, may we be filled with your Spirit. And Lord, for those who have gathered here today to hear your message, may their hearts be open and may they be comforted and drawn into your word today. And Lord, may these words be your words to this family and to the friends and those that have gathered here today. Never my own. And Lord, may you fill me with that same Spirit as I bring this word to them. In Jesus I pray, amen. What has happened to Paul is difficult. It's hard to believe that he is gone. And so Karen, family, I know that Friday afternoon was a very difficult time. It made no sense to as what happened and took place. How could Paul be gone? And so here we gather today in the presence of God, looking for comfort while grieving such a loss. We gather in hope and we pray for God to bring us comfort through His Word in a time of grief and pain. And let me share another verse with you from Scripture that is so powerful that you need to hear this in Romans 8, verse 26. It says that the Holy Spirit is praying on our behalf in situations that we don't understand or maybe we don't even know what to pray for. And here's what it says. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. To the throne room of heaven, this takes place. And so may the Holy Spirit continue to pray on your behalf, not only today, but in the days to come. We praise God that the Holy Spirit was, is, and will continue to pray for all of us that are gathered here in this difficult time. But may I also share with you this morning that the Bible makes it very clear that God is a loving God of comfort and abundant grace. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 says, He is the God of all comfort. And I'd like to expand on that a little bit this morning. You see, we serve a living God who loves us and He cares for His people. And you might be thinking to yourself, if God truly cared for us, this would have never happened. God could have intervened. God could have stopped this. And the answer to that is yes, He could have done that. But He didn't. And I have no answer for that. But Karen, family, friends, don't second guess God's plan with Paul. Even though we might not like the plan, trust that God's plan is perfect. And one day, it will all make sense. God allowed this to take place. And there's nothing that we could do to change it. And Karen, don't ever feel guilty. Don't ever let Satan beat you up and make you think that you could have done something different. Because this is what it says in the book of Psalm, chapter 139, verse 16. Your eyes saw me when I was an unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God makes no mistakes. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 2 says there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. All the days of our lives are ordained by God. We can't add to it. We can't take away from it. Now we might be shocked by his death. But God is not. God knew Paul was coming home this past Friday morning. But God does promise that he will always come to us in our time of need. Let me share some stories with you this morning from Scripture. Many of you have been through Sunday school and you remember some of these stories. But let me share just a couple of them with you that demonstrate the love of God and the care that he has for his people. You see this run throughout the entire book of Scripture. Remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were cast into the fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they believed no matter what the outcome would be, that their God would save them and would take care of them in their time of need. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he hated them. He wanted to do away with them because they believed in their Lord. And so we know what happened to them. King Nebuchadnezzar ordered them to be thrown into the fire. And what faith that they had, because they were literally thrown into the fiery furnace, thinking this must be the end. God, what will you do? Will you call us home through this? And most of you know the story. In their deepest moment of need, while being thrown into the fiery furnace, an angel of the Lord appears to them in that furnace. And the three come out unscathed. And it's believed, if you look deep in the Scripture and the theology, that that angel of the Lord in the Old Testament was Jesus himself in that fiery furnace with those other three people. God comes to us in our time of need. Jump with me to the New Testament. Remember the story of the disciples in the boat in the midst of the storm in Mark chapter 4. Jesus is fast asleep below the deck. And the disciples are fearful for this huge storm came upon them. And they're in the middle of the sea and they're fearful for their lives. And so they awaken Jesus. And this is Jesus' words. He comes up from the bottom of the boat. He comes onto the deck and he sees the sea raging around them. He sees the fear in his people. And he says, he rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm on the water. You can find story after story in both the Old and New Testament where God comes to the needs of his people. Karen, Paul's children, friends and family, God comes to bring comfort to us. He brings us hope. He's filled with grace and love in your time of need. He hears your cries. He promises in Scripture that he catches every one of your tears. And one day he says, I will restore that tear to you in heaven. The Lord is here in this place today. His Spirit is moving about. His Spirit is bringing life, comfort, and peace to every one of us. You know, Paul, he was the kind of person that lived with no regrets in life. His words were straightforward. He knew exactly where he stood with him. But Paul always seemed to have a sense of humor about him. You could always tell when Paul was around. How many of you would agree with me with that this morning? You knew when Paul was in the room. You can remember the stories. You could see that in the list of the 10 things that I shared with you. He loved to have fun with his artificial leg. How many people do you know that take a welder with them camping? I don't know too many of them, but Paul did. But understand this. Was Paul perfect? No. Did he have faults? Yes. Was he a sinner? Yes, just like you and I. Is God's grace sufficient and far-reaching to cover our worst sins for every one of us that believe in him? And the answer to that is yes. Now, it's not my job or your job to place Paul in heaven or anywhere else. That's God's job, and only he knows Paul's heart. But I would like to share a few things with you this morning about what a believer in Christ who has entered in the presence of the Holy One, what he or she's experiencing there today. And maybe the regrets that we feel as a family today as we live life here on earth. We have regrets that Paul is gone. But in the presence of God, there are no regrets. We feel cheated. He was only 59 years old. He had a lot of life to live yet. In the presence of God, you will never feel cheated. We feel crushed. For those who know Christ, they are set free in eternity with Jesus Christ. What a sight that must be. We might miss Paul. We might miss our loved ones that have gone on before us. They are perfectly content in the presence of Christ. We may have doubts. We may have fears. Believers are in the Savior's arms. For those who know Christ and call him our Lord and Savior, these are encouraging words for us today. Those are things to hold on to as you go through life in the days and weeks to come. Our God is a God of great comfort and great peace. Yes, he's a God who punishes sin and he's just. But if we are faithful and we repent, he promises to forgive us our sins so that we may live eternally in the presence of the Lord. You know, you can never earn your salvation. It's a free gift from God. And all you have to do is ask and accept Jesus. So back to my question earlier that I raised. Why didn't God intervene and save Paul? And so we need to understand that God does save his people, just not in the way that we want it to be. And you might ask, well, how is that, or what does that look like? And so let me just tell you the story. You know it well. A little over 2,000 years ago, God sent the Son into the world to die on the cross, to shed his blood for our sins, that we could have salvation. So when God calls us off of this earth and we believe in him, we are granted that salvation through Jesus Christ. So did God intervene in Paul's death? My answer to you is yes, he sure did, through his Son, so that Paul may have salvation. You know, he's in a place where only everlasting peace and joy prevail. You know, another thing is there's a promise that accompanies that ultimate sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. That you and I, as followers of Christ, we get to go there someday. And guess who's going to be there? All of those that have gone on before us who've called upon Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God did intervene in every one of our lives when we were called home. And I know that every one of us would be called home in a different way and in a different time and place than what you think or expect. For it's God's plan, it's not ours. May that bring you comfort and hope. And heaven, by the way, is a very real place. I did an extensive study on heaven. Did a whole sermon series, 25 sermons about 2 years ago within our congregation on specifically heaven and what it's like and what goes on there and what to expect. And if you would just take time to realize that is the dessert of life. You want to go there. You want to be there. You think this is living, you should experience what heaven will be like someday with Jesus Christ. That is fully living. And so how do we get there? And Romans 10 verse 9 tells us how to get there. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And by the way, that's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life that brings your heart to that place. But do you see the love that God has for us? He's holy, he's merciful, he's just, and he's gracious. Whatever God does is always right. And he loves you more than you can ever imagine. May that bring you comfort today. Knowing your Savior and living with him in eternity. And so maybe today you're far from God and you wonder about your salvation. Pray for God to reveal himself to you, and he'll do it. He promises that. You know, I've also learned that being in the ministry that in a time of death, heaven touches earth. And maybe you've never experienced that, but I've been in places where tragic things have taken place and there's been a loss of life, such as Friday morning. You need to know that God was there. He wasn't by himself. Paul was never alone. God was there. And so no death ever occurs apart from the purpose and will of God in our lives. He knows when each and every one of us will depart from this earth. Most of you are aware that life can be hard and very difficult at times. God never intended this world for a rest. Scripture tells us that we'll encounter some very tough things as we live out our life, such as Friday afternoon. Ecclesiastes 3 says that we're guaranteed change within our lives. That's the whole thing that King Solomon wants us to get. The way that you know things today will be different tomorrow. For the world is an ever-changing place. And whenever change takes place, We'll assume new work and new roles in our lives. Life will be different from now on. Karen, life's going to look different for you now. But I trust that God will carry you through this time. And for Paul's children, as you sit here today, life's going to be different for you now. But I trust that God will carry you through. You will get through this. Today is a day to mourn, a day to say goodbye. And I know that you grieve greatly. But rest assured, if we seek God and we ask for His strength, He will grant in each and every one of us a spirit within you that will help you to hold on. John 16, verse 20 says, "Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices," meaning it goes its way. "You will grieve, but at some point," it says, "your grief will turn to joy. A smile will return." That's the hope that he talks about, that he wants you to know. The Lord has promised to guide us, to satisfy us, to prosper us, to refresh us, to rebuild us, to raise us up, to repair us, and to restore His people. Karen, Tammy and Matt, Tara, Scott, Evan and Melissa, others that are gathered here today, may you one day find contentment and peace, and may He restore you with joy in what God has laid out for your life. You never go it alone. God is always with you. May you be blessed and find comfort in His word today. And all of God's people said, amen. I'd like you to turn in your hymn book this morning to number 256, "Because He Lives." That's what we celebrate. Verses 1 through 3, number 256. Let us pray. O God, before whom generations rise and pass away, we praise you for all your servants who have lived this life in faith, now live eternally with you. We especially thank you for your servant Paul. We praise you for the gift of his life, for all in him that was good and kind and faithful. We thank you for the grace that you gave him. We thank you that for Paul that he's now entered into your presence. And the hope that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Lunch will be served immediately following the service here this morning. And if you, the family will exit first, and then you can take a right to go down the stairs there, and it's directly below us. And so the family invites you to join them for this time of fellowship and food. And so with that, why don't we pray for the meal as well? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hands that have prepared this meal. May you bless their work. Lord, may we gather as family and friends, and may we have a time of fellowship and food. And Lord, may we feel your presence as we share stories of Paul's life. May we comfort one another and encourage one another with our words as well. In Jesus we pray, amen. May you receive his parting blessing today. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm going to invite you to turn to number 85 for our closing song. And we're going to sing verses 1 through 5. And the family will depart at the beginning of verse 4. Number 85, "Amazing Grace." Let us sing together.